tall, but I'm still not quite as tall as David. Thy kingdom come. Brethren, if you'll please turn to Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6. I want to start here. Starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I was laying on my sofa last Friday morning, and Fox News came on, and of course, the main topic of the morning and all that day, most of Saturday, was the man that went completely, berserk in shooting a... First of all, he was being escorted, I think, to the courtroom with a 5'2" lady, 51-year-old grandmother, about 100 pounds, and she was trying to take this guy that was about my size to court. And he opened fire on the judge, shooting the judge, killing the judge, killing the court reporter, and then also killing two other deputies. And Marilyn and I were also shocked beyond words, like a lot of you, of the tragic events and the senseless slaughter of Living Church of God Sabbath service a week ago. We have all of us in this room today, I'm sure, have memorized, we've studied, and we can quote the Ten Commandments that includes, "Thou shalt not commit murder." In a notice put out by our president, Mr. Holliday, he stated, "All the news accounts describe the gunman as troubled and depressed. Whatever his state of mind at the time, the outcome was horrific, and it will profoundly impact us all." He goes on to say, "The day is coming soon when God will wipe away every tear. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And I've been dwelling on this subject most of the week. Like you, I just could not believe that this could happen. The dominating spirit, brethren, on this earth is not God. Satan has been in control, as we all know, on this earth for 6,000 years. And he is becoming more and more powerful and more dominant. This evil will continue. This evil will continue until Christ returns, until God's kingdom comes. Thy kingdom come. Society, the society that we live in, brethren, wants answers. They start evaluating each incident and searches for excuses for the killings, assuming that each individual is suffering from what? Mental illness, epileptic seizures, maybe drug reactions, and mental problems. And we know there have been much talk on the news lately about the shootings and about the church. And it's been a little unnerving for us, hasn't it? It's been a little unnerving for us in the church concerned about persecution. We all know the time will come when we are persecuted within. I don't know. Maybe this is a precursor of the things yet to happen. But more and more and more evil will come. More unhappiness. Gloomy times will be here. Nothing at all, brethren, nothing man can do or can say, can create, or can create, will bring an end to the human suffering on this earth. But, as God's called out ones, we, brethren, we know what the answers are. We know where to find them. This book, the Bible, God's Word. This is where we know where to find them. But we know, we all in this room right now, we are all put on hold for right now. We have to, and I underline, brethren, we have to use God's Holy Spirit. It's imperative that we use God's Holy Spirit, that we stir it up in us constantly, and that we think of and we meditate on it daily. The Bible reveals to you and I a way that brings happiness and contentment. It reveals to each and every one of us a peace of mind. A peace of mind without the things that are man-made to use as a temporary fix. God did not call us to fail. He did not call us to be faint-hearted and as difficult and as hard as it is with this horrific act that took place, we can, if we're not careful, become faint-hearted. We ask where God's protection was. You know, if we become discouraged into thinking we don't have what it takes to be in the body of Christ, we need to remember. We need to remember very much so that God never does make a mistake. That God is with us. We have to trust God to help us in times of discouragement. That involves drawing on the power of God's Holy Spirit, activating the mind and the attitude and the very nature of God Himself. We have to walk with God. Particularly when we are faced with trials like the one in Wisconsin. What can we do? We can simply elevate some of the priorities in our lives. Pray every day. The only way that we can overcome the world is to stay closer to God in prayer and devour His Word in Bible study. And we need to realize, too, that God is present at all times. God is present at all times. Don't turn there, but Psalms in chapter 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? God is aware of everything that goes on in our lives. More than ever, brethren, more than ever, we need to respond to God's Holy Spirit, constantly listening for that still small voice. God talks to us through His Holy Spirit, and He lets us know through gentle signs and sometimes not so gentle actions when He is directing our lives. We need to remain diligent in our Bible study. As I stated in point number one, we need to devour God's Word. We need to read it. We need to dwell on it. We need to speak it. We need to speak it with family. We need to speak it with brethren. We need to keep God's Word first and foremost in our thoughts. Most of all, brethren, we need to make each day count. Each and every single day that we are alive and that we're in this physical condition, we need to make each day count. Every day we have an opportunity. Every day we have an opportunity to make God's presence known in the way that we talk to people, the way that we deal with situations, the way that we deal with problems. We all have the power to make or break relationships with people just in the way that we respond. We can also serve others, and in doing so, show God's power. This is what God wants. That's what God wants. And no matter what, brethren, we need to hold on to God no matter what. Being a Christian is not easy. We're seeing that come to reality. You know, everyone whom God calls can expect trials. And if we're not careful, they can get the better of us. That's why you have to stay on your knees. You have to stay in constant contact with God every single day. Ask for God's protection. And when this happens is when we need to hold on tight. We need to hold on very, very tight to God and not let go. We need a firm grip on God. And as long as we hold on to God, He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. Starting in verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, brethren, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. More than ever, brethren, we need to stop and we need to focus on the future, the real future, the kingdom of God, and what we are to become later. Not what we are to become in this piece of corruptible flesh. Our bodies get old. Our bodies wear out. But later we will be in incorruptible. This is what we should be looking forward to. Go back to Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6. 13 through 20. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We have all suffered a loss of a loved one, each and every one of us, I'm sure. We know how traumatic it can be. There isn't one loss greater than another. My prayers go up to those people that were slaughtered in the living church of God. It all still hurts, doesn't it? But we must pray for each other, brethren. We must pray like we've never prayed before daily, that we will be comforted by God to help us through our grief. It is only when we are lifting each other up, it's only when we're lifting each other in prayer that we can feel God's presence in our lives and the strength to carry on. You know, Marilyn and I just got a call yesterday from one of the elderly ladies that we assisted last year on a Hawaiian cruise, that her traveling buddy, Bernice, had died last Sunday. These two ladies, we had the opportunity to take to dinner, to get to know. She played the piano for her church, and when she didn't come to church, they went to her house to check on her. This lady had driven her car to the bottom of the driveway to get her paper, like she did every Sunday morning. And she had a heart attack and died in the driveway. When they got there, her dog was laying next to her with the newspaper. When they went into the house, her dress and purse were lying on the bed, and her Bible was on her nightstand. Bernice wasn't in the church, but I would like to think that while we were with her on this cruise, that we let God's light shine in the service that we gave to her and her friend. Brethren, we are all here, each and every one of us, for a time. God's time, not ours. We can't know what events are going to take place. We cannot know these events that can change our lives forever. That is why, brethren, we must be in a mental and spiritual state of urgency, preparing ourselves for God's kingdom. I couldn't think of a better way to close today than with the final paragraph written in a statement from Mr. Clyde Kylo about this terrible tragedy. He says, "The bond of God's Holy Spirit instills a special love for all of those in His spiritual family. And we weep with them that weep. Amid all the conflicting emotions and complex questions swirling around this tragedy, this much is clear. How desperately we need Jesus Christ to return to this earth. And after today, our sense of urgency and longing for that moment to arrive has risen to an entirely different level. An entirely different level. And we pray as never before, Thy kingdom come."